Isaiah directed a disobedient people to the power of the coming Redeemer. The Redeemer is the one who is described in verse 2. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Those are references to the Messiah. The ministry of Isaiah announced the coming of divine judgment on the sins of the people. It was a ministry that emphasized the inability of the people to understand spiritual truth. The very preaching of the truth was, as Isaiah was told in his calling, to harden the hearts of the people even more. And there are times when the preaching of the word becomes itself the judgment of God upon the people. Hearing, they heard, but they did not understand. Jesus, in speaking by parables, said the same thing. He taught that way so that the people would not understand. And then he would explain the parables to those to whom it was given to understand. So it is that that which is a token of divine mercy to those who believe, the Word of God, becomes a millstone around the necks of those who do not believe. Such was the case, as we have already noted, in the ministry of Christ. People who are blind in this way are sure that they know what the truth is. And they continue their assumptions that they know how to recognize what is good and what is evil. But in Isaiah's prophecy, we find it was the lack of discernment in this area that marked the people as carnal. They did not know the difference between good and evil. If you turn back to chapter 5, Isaiah chapter 5, beginning at verse 11, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue till night, till wine inflame them. And the harp, and the vial, the tabret, and pipe, and wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst." Go farther down that passage to verse 20 and you find the real problem. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Can we not say that that woe is pronounced upon this country in which we live? Those who take that which God has called evil and they call it good. They take that which God has called good and they call it evil. So it is that now those who defend the cause of truth are labeled as evildoers in the land. The prophet said this was the woe of God. "Woe unto them," we continue on in verse 20, "that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. What this passage emphasizes for us is what people do who have not been born again. They pervert the whole basis and structure of society. And could I suggest to you that that is the very problem that we face in this land? These are people who are full of pride. They believe they know what's best for the people. They see nothing wrong with strong drink. They revel in the commission of sins, even of the most perverse and abominable sort. But what does God's word say, Mr. Pastor? They will be devoured. They refused to receive the word of the Lord, and the Lord said he would cast them off. But in these words that we have read in chapter 32, the Spirit of God sets before us the only true response, the only way of changing this hardness and blindness. It is, in New Testament terms, the new birth. Isaiah described the Lord Jesus Christ here as the King who would reign in righteousness. He would be the hiding place from divine wrath, from the judgment. Those who would take such protection, we find here, would be transformed in their minds. The darkness of depravity would vanish. The hardness of unbelief would shatter. So in this text, we find the impact of the Spirit's miraculous work in a depraved heart. And we find that it is a complete change, a complete transformation. Now this change is beyond the ability of any person to enact apart from the Spirit of God. You cannot do it for yourself. You cannot do it for someone else. I cannot do it for you. We have no power to make that change. But the Spirit of God has the power. And how do I know that? Because there are people here tonight in which that power has been manifested. The Scripture teaches us in our text what the marks are of this powerful work of the Spirit of God. So this evening, I want us to consider in the moments that remain to us, regeneration's results. It's only when you come to the realization that the new birth is strictly the work of the Holy Spirit that you realize you have to pray for the conversion of lost souls. If you want to see a sinner converted, and you come to realize that only the Spirit of God can make the change that is required, you have to commit yourself to pray for that work. Because no one can be saved without this miracle taking place. If we believe the teaching of the Bible, we must believe that the new birth produces spiritual life in the soul. Now, there may be physical habits that are hard to be broken. Not everyone who is regenerated can immediately get free of all those physical habits. But the thinking of a born-again person will no longer seek to cover for those habits. So the question is, are you thinking straight? If it is true that the things of the Spirit of God are known by the Spirit of God, then in all that our passage teaches us, there's no excuse for any kind of pride or condescension. If you understand the truth, it is because the Spirit has worked in your soul. Now, this text teaches us about four of regeneration's results that I want you to consider with me this evening. First of all, true perception. Those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ will see clearly. Notice what the prophet says. The eyes of them that see shall not be dim. What was it that the Lord Jesus testified that he came to do? It was to open the eyes of the blind. And in his ministry, he did give physical sight to many who were blind. And let's look at just one of those incidents in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored, and notice this, and saw every man clearly. The Lord opened his eyes so that he saw clearly. When the Apostle Paul was before King Agrippa, he asserted that part of his mission was to open the eyes of the blind. So when we think about this true perception, what is it that we mean? Those who've been born again see clearly. They understand. You can look in the eye of such a person and you see understanding. They receive the truth, and they perceive it as the truth. That is, you don't have to convince such a person of the truth. They're not going to be casting about for the truth. They grasp it. They get it, to use the jargon of the day. Now, they may be in need of instruction in terms of theological knowledge or in terms of practical issues of life, but they won't be blind to the need for a Christian to maintain a position of being separated from the world. That is, you won't have to convince such a person, in whom the Spirit of God has worked, that there is a distinction that God has made between his people and the people of the world. In other words, it is not following certain ethical principles that is the sign of the new birth. That was one of the great downfalls in the early centuries of the church, that ministers became more focused upon ethical concerns in the church and how the people would relate to each other than they were with the witness of the Spirit of God in the soul. So this perception is the result of the, what Paul calls, the renewing of the mind, the transformation of the mind. Those who have not been born again do not get it, if I can use that jargon again. They don't see the truth clearly. You can explain the truth to them. And it's like there's no comprehension at all. It goes right past them. That was the problem with Nicodemus. Turn to John chapter 3. John's Gospel chapter 3. Notice verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus had just expounded to him the truth of the new birth. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" So here is what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. Your problem, Nicodemus, is you are not born again. You don't understand what I'm telling you. He was speaking to him in very basic terms. But Nicodemus could not understand it. So it wasn't religion that Nicodemus needed. He was a very religious man. In fact, if we take the general context in John's Gospel to heart, we understand that Nicodemus was among the best of the Jewish leaders. He was among the most reasonable. But such a reality did not mean that he was born again. Nicodemus needed to see. So the first result of regeneration is true perception. I have dealt with people who went from not understanding, from that look in the eye of not comprehending, to suddenly understanding. And that is a remarkable change to behold. True perception. But that leads me, secondly, to speak about the second result. True reception. For the second mark is that those who are born again not only hear the word of God, but will hearken to it. The ears of them that hear shall hearken. That word hearken has the idea of not only a physical act, when the words that are spoken come to your ears, there is a physical process by which those sound waves are converted into electrical impulses and interpreted by the brain so that you can hear. But we're going beyond the physical process when we speak about hearkening. To hearken means not only to hear, but to obey. It is the desire of parents that their children will hearken to them. That is, that they will not only hear what the parent is saying, but that they will heed it, that they will obey it. Now, again, I want to emphasize that this kind of hearing is the result of the work of the Spirit. What do we read about Lydia in Acts chapter 16? What was the mark of the Lord opening her heart? It was that she attended. She gave attention to the things that were being spoken by Paul and by Silas and the others. That was the mark of regeneration. Now in Isaiah, we are dealing with people here who were in bondage. Now, they had no shortage of opportunities to hear the prophets. Do you notice how many people there were in those centuries who heard the preaching of the prophets to no effect upon them at all. They didn't profit by their opportunities. How many people are there today who hear the preaching of the Word of God and they make no profit of their opportunities? And when it goes in one ear and out the other. That is, there's a physical process that goes on and nothing else. Sinners, we read in the Scriptures, are dead in their trespasses and their sins. And it's little wonder if they don't hearken to the Word of God. But when a person is born again, that person gives attention to the Word. That person gives attention to Christ, who is the incarnate Word. That person considers the Word carefully. Not casually. Ponders it. Seeks out the application of the truth to the soul and to the life. Those who have been born again know that the Word of God is from God. They know the source of the Word. They know that all the Scripture is inspired of God. And so, knowing that source, they submit themselves to the authority of the Word. That's what it means to hearken. And they reject every challenge to the Word. So someone comes along and says, well, you know, the Bible's got mistakes in it. Immediately, they reject that idea. Because they know the source of the Word. So there's true perception, there's true reception, and thirdly, there is true attention. In verse 4 in our text, we read, "The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge." The heart of the rash. That is the unregenerate person. Here is one of the characteristics of the unregenerate person. That person is quick to speak. Will always give an opinion. Sometimes saying the first thing that comes into the mind. But the person who has been born again is marked by more deliberateness. We were in the meeting of the presbytery this last week, talking to some of the brethren in the presbytery about the procedures of Presbyterianism, just saying that the value of these procedures is it makes us slow down. It makes us, and one man used this very word, deliberate. Deliberate. We say we deliberate. We enter into deliberations, and that supposes that we don't rush to a decision, even though we may be conscious of time passing, we take time to consider. The person who has been born again is much more cautious about speaking. The New Testament describes him in a particular way, and we find that in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Here's the person who's been born again. He is slow to speak. There are many problems that would be resolved before they arise if this admonition would be followed. And what makes a person slow to speak? Well, we read it in the text, a true understanding. When you pay attention to the Word of God and what the Word of God has to say, suddenly your own opinions are not so important. They carry a lot less weight. Well, I think, well, but this is what the Word says. So it ends up that what you think, when it doesn't line up with the Word, doesn't really carry much weight. What is the understanding of which the text is speaking? Well, if we have in our minds that passage we read from Isaiah 5, it is the ability to know what is right and what is wrong. The ability to identify good and evil properly, so that we don't hear that woe pronounced against us, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Now, we read through the context, the verses following, and the context says that the past designations are abandoned when somebody comes to a true understanding. That is, the vile person is no more identified as being liberal. The person who has been regenerated makes the proper identifications. So what's the answer then to twisted thinking? It is regeneration. It is the new birth. Bob Jones Sr. put it in a very popular style when he said, "You give God your heart, He combs the kinks out of your head." And I think that that was a very good way of putting it. The twisted thinking of the depraved soul is untangled by the new birth. And last of all, that new birth produces a dramatic effect on the tongue. That's the fourth of these results. True proclamation. In verse 4, the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. And the force of the expression is that those who have spoken spiritually in stammering tones will be ready to speak clearly and directly. And what does it mean? It means they will stand with God and against evil doers. They will be truly liberal. That's the true sense of that word. It's been greatly perverted in politics, but what else has not been perverted in politics? They will be liberal when they stand with God and when they stand against evildoers. They will have the needs of sinners much before them. And what will they proclaim? The word of the gospel. The word of the Lord. What will they proclaim? They will proclaim the King who is going to reign in righteousness. They will proclaim this man who is a covert from the tempest, who is a hiding place. They will proclaim the glory of Christ and will call those who are still outside of Christ to come and to put their trust in Him. This is the result of regeneration. Here's what happens when a person who is gripped in depravity is transformed. Now we can be thankful that this work is going on all around the world. One of the encouraging things about being last week at the Week of Prayer in the Presbytery meeting in Alabama was to hear of the evidence of God's work in other parts of the world. To hear of those who have been converted in the Czech Republic. To hear of the desire of people in Korea to see a free Presbyterian church established there. To hear about these men in Mexico who have a desire to be identified with a denomination that takes its stand for Christ and against compromise. That is a great encouragement. The work of God is going on. It's going on in our own congregations, or in the annual examinations of the churches. Some did report that there had been conversions to Christ during the last year. We give God praise for that. We would like to see more. But we give God praise that there are some who have come to Christ. This true proclamation is the result of the work of God in the soul. Results of regeneration. This evening, when we come to consider the circumstances in which we find ourselves, in which we find those who are around us, we find the need is for regeneration. And that only comes about by the power of God. So it's even a greater argument than ever for us to call upon the name of the Lord and to desire that He would indeed open blinded eyes, open deaf ears, change the thinking of twisted minds, and enable people to speak plainly the truth of the gospel. May the Lord give us grace to pray for those we love and those we know, those with whom we are associated, to pray for them, that the work of God may take place in their souls in these days.